This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
If you've just tuned in to us, it's the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture with Tina Camilla, Juliet Jacobs and Kelly Anissa.
Yeah, so over on social media, we're asking you, does technology keep us safer? So far, about 87% of you have said it depends on how it's used. 8% of you have said no. And now 5% of you are saying yes. So all of this, you can join in the conversation today. You know, tweet us at BFM Radio. You can send us a WhatsApp message at 018-789-8899. Or you can call us at 03-7733-2900. So the reason we are asking this question is because
we are asking you this because of how migrant women with temporary visa status are particularly vulnerable when it comes to domestic and family violence. So in a recent study, interviews were conducted with migrant women who had experienced domestic abuse and their experiences with technology facilitated abuse. And it was found that while technology can help women to reduce their isolation in a new country, a partner's control of technology may increase their isolation for migrant women, which can heighten the risk of abuse. Mm. And so while technology facilitated abuse has been recognized as a new breed of domestic violence, this form of abuse refers to controlling, monitoring and harassing behaviors using tools such as mobile phones, SMS, email and tracking apps and even social media.
Yeah, the study, which was based on migrant women in Australia, found that women who came to Australia or on temporary visas are often separated from their family and friends and have limited access to money. And they also hold fears of deportation and losing custody of their children. So the control of devices and digital media by an abuser can restrict a victim's opportunity to connect with support networks, to identify their situation as abusive and to seek help. And these factors contribute to and compound entrapment in abusive relationships.
Yeah, some of the stories that were actually reported in the article by The Conversation detail some very, very traumatic experiences. You know, one of them spoke about how her spouse only granted access to the internet when she ceded to his demands, such as making breakfast. And another woman spoke about how it came to a point where she could not even access her bank account due to the restricted use of technology in her home. And, you know, as these women's experiences showed, that lack of access to technology and a partner's control of devices just, you know, heightens geographic and social isolation.
Mm. Yeah, and this causes particular problems for migrant women who rely on technology to maintain supportive connections with their family and friends in their home country.
Yeah.
And so these challenges, misconceptions that stalking behaviors especially only only manifest after the relationship has ended. So as these testimonies, as they clearly imply, they can take place during the course of the relationship itself. So we spoke to Sumitra Viswanathan, Executive Director of the Women's Aid Organisation, earlier today about the prevalence of this form of domestic abuse here in Malaysia and whether migrant women can seek protection from it. Is this form of technology-facilitated domestic abuse common here in Malaysia among migrant women?
Well, it's a bit hard to say because there are no exact statistics. So what I can tell you about is WAO's own experience. Generally, it is common for all who have abusive partners to experience abuse through tech. So because of the already vulnerable position migrant women are in, where they usually depend on the perpetrator for their legal status, for instance, it becomes even more so. So because, tech is so pervasive and everyone has access to a smartphone, for instance, all the personal details, how much money you have, who all your friends are just a few clicks away. So especially for migrant women, tech is the only way for them to contact their support systems back home. They tend to be very isolated, and especially there's already a certain element of social abuse. So removing their access to technology, for instance, is one way to cut them off. It makes it even more difficult for the survivor to reach out for help.
And if someone were to find themselves in this, in a situation where they are involved in this form of domestic abuse, what action can they take to protect themselves?
There are so many things that they can do, right? But the first thing that they need to do is talk to someone, to reach out, to describe their situation. The other thing that they need to do, let's say that you know, they are receiving abuse over various platforms, technological platforms. Then, you know, clearly the thing to do then is to block the perpetrator, think about changing your account, think about minimizing your presence on social media. I know it sounds like it's about, restricting. She needs to restrict her own access, mm-hmm. but that's not necessarily the case. You know, you can set up a new profile. You can be more safe and secure with your online and digital security. There are things that you can do to put barriers between you and the abuser. But when it's a situation where you are living with the abuser, and the abuser is restricting your access to technology and therefore your access to the outside world, it's such a difficult situation. And we actually have had cases where women have been almost, you know, imprisoned within the home with their children for up to 2-3 years, mm-hmm. And no one knowing that they are actually facing this situation. It is so hard. And in cases like that, what we like to see is communities being interested in what's happening around them, neighbors asking questions, reaching out. If you think there's a woman in a house who you hardly ever see, who doesn't seem to come out very much, and that sounds like there's a lot of altercation going on in the home, you know, look for that safe time where you can actually go over, ring the doorbell and say, hey, are you okay? Do you need some help?
Does Malaysia's Domestic Violence Act protect migrant women from abuse?
Yes, Malaysia's Domestic Violence Act is intended to protect all women from abuse. And it should not discriminate. Mm-hmm. But again, you know, in its implementation and in action, it becomes very, very difficult for women, but especially so for women with particular vulnerabilities, like migrant women with no legal status, and also foreign spouses. One thing to remember is foreign spouses are in a very special situation because their legal protections are very much circumscribed and very much dependent on their citizen partner. A foreign wife who's married to an abusive Malaysian can face very, very difficult immigration situation, where he could withdraw potentially her spousal visa. Mm-hmm. He could assume custody of her kids. He could do so many things. So it's under the law, actually. So it very much circumscribes her access to justice, her legal status, her own legal status, and her own legal protection.
And, you know, does our Domestic Violence Act also cover technology-facilitated domestic abuse or anything of that nature?
So let me address two things, right? So the first thing is where tech is the platform for the abuse. So when a threat is made to the woman, like, you know, a death threat or a rape threat, so the DVA needs to be read together with some offences under the penal code. So in that sense, the DVA may be able to address that, right? Then the other situation is where the woman's access to technology is circumscribed. Mm-hmm. She is stopped from having access to it. And so that becomes a situation of social abuse. Our Domestic Violence Act is not very clear on whether that is social abuse is actually covered, right? Mm-hmm. Our DVA and the protection orders may not be able to address situations where there's a lack of physical interaction or even a possibility of that. It's assumed that when you are in a situation of social abuse, right? So it's where you are being prevented from having access, the danger is seen as being not imminent. So even though there's harassment, even though the communication is the form, it's a platform and the tool of abuse, the Domestic Violence Act is not strong enough
right.
to address that. And the other thing that's important to note is in its implementation. Law enforcers tend to look at violence as being something that should be palpable, you know, something that you can perceive,
mm-hmm.
Something that gives you bruises. And so if you go to the police station and try to make a police report, for instance, on, harassment over social media or harassment through email and so forth, it can be very difficult. And this is also why WAO is looking to the government to make stalking a crime. If you find yourself really, really stuck and you really need to speak to someone confidentially, please call WAO. My number is 7956-3488. Or you can even WhatsApp or text our TINA line. And that number is 018-988-8058. So if you're in this situation, please reach out and talk to us.
That was Sumitra Viswanathan, Executive Director of the Women's Aid Organization.
So looking at this issue as a whole, right, it's important to note that victims also face the grim realization they may always have to look over their shoulders thanks to the array of tracking technology that is cheaply and easily available.
Yeah, you know, I was on Lazada recently and they were just selling with horrible pictures of women in their bedrooms, right? And they're like, oh, spy, you know, it's tiny little spy cameras
right.
or bugging devices and all of that. I'm like, what is this world? But there was also another story I was reading yesterday about a woman who experienced it firsthand after meeting her ex-partner on an access visit for their young daughter. He came with a backpack to the changeover, you know, and there was a doll in the backpack. And he told her to make sure that that their kid takes the doll with her everywhere, even if she doesn't like it. I mean, alarm bells there. But it was later revealed that he put a tracking device in the doll and found out which shelter she was living at. That's terrifying.
And there are so many tracking apps out there, right? My family, for example, uses one. And this is for safety reasons. So we use it to track one another when someone is not at home or if someone isn't picking up their phone. But in someone else's hands, this can be used very, very negatively, which is scary.
Yeah, there is. I don't know if you guys heard about this app called AppShare. It's actually created by the Saudi government, and it includes a feature that helps men monitor and control women who are under their guardianship, including their wives and their unmarried daughters. And I mean, they have the right, thanks to Saudi's guardianship laws, which mandate that every woman has a male guardian to make critical decisions on her behalf. But the reason, so that can even be their father, brother, husband, son, anyone, right? But then they have to get men to approve things like whether they apply for a passport, whether they study abroad, travel outside the country, or even get married. And I think the reason this app made headlines recently, because it's been around for a long time, it's like 2015 or something like that. But a woman who was pursuing asylum indicated that she tried to flee the country without being detected. But her male guardian found her through AppSure and prevented her from leaving the country. And she was basically an abused woman. So, I can't imagine somebody tracking me, that all the time and being able to know my whereabouts all the time. Why do you have to do that unless there's something really wrong with you?
And I think that, you know, with social media, it is so much easier to stalk someone, right?
Yeah.
Not only after the relationship has ended, it's also during especially if you are a migrant woman, we said that some of them, their access to money, they can no longer check their bank accounts, you know, which is, it can be very dangerous when you are alone in a different country, right?
Definitely.
But then again, on the other hand, there's also considerable potential for victims to use new technologies to hold their abusers accountable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, so such as recording the incident for proof and for collection of evidence to use in court. And I think that, I can't remember which celebrity, or even if you watch any high-profile abuse cases, a lot of them are always accompanied with pictures or video as proof of the abuse, right?
Definitely.
Yeah, so there's that. And of course, there are apps and websites that can link victims with service providers and their support groups.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, of course, technology, it can be used and abused, mm-hmm. right? So yeah. There are cases, of course, where it's helped women actually get out of dangerous situations. Mm. I mean, like texting the Tina hotline, for example, right?
Not
Tina Camellia, but WAO's Tina hotline, you know, and I know that has helped so many people in dangerous situations.
Yeah, and I don't know if you guys remember, very recently, Rahaf Al-Kunun, the Saudi woman who fled Saudi Arabia to Thailand, and there was a huge, it was an international crisis almost, right? Yeah. But one of the reporters who was following her story and was live tweeting the development of the story was with her, and she said that the authorities managed to take away her passport. But the reason why this story is garnered so much attention is because they didn't take her phone away, and she was live tweeting her whole ordeal and updating people. Okay, I'm here and I'm, you know, locked in the hotel room. I've had, you know, no food, no access to whatever. Yeah. So that's how powerful technology can be. And I mean, eventually she managed to seek asylum. I think it was Canada who eventually accepted
that's right.
her.
Yeah.
So there's one way that technology can work in their favor.
Yeah, making things viral. But no, I mean, wonderful for a wonderful cause, right? This helps. And there have been so many other asylum seekers whose stories have, you know, through technology and through, you know, social media, they've been granted... they've been granted guardianship in other countries and escaped whatever terror it is that they were fleeing from.
Because sometimes I think people have difficulty believing the woman when they're talking about, especially if they're high profile accusers, until they see these pictures, and of course until some women use these platforms, to let these images go viral. Because like I said, not many people believe you otherwise. Unless you
ask for the proof, they want the proof, right? Of course,
and of course, they'll look for excuses for the proof anyway.
Yeah,
pictures, or it didn't happen, right? That's the standard line.
Anyway, I guess we can do one last check on social media.
Yeah. So we did ask you over on Twitter, does technology keep us safer? So far, about 84% of you have said depends on how it's used. 9% have said no, and another 7% of you have said yes. But yes, I think depends on how it's used.
Yeah. Okay, so I guess you can keep the conversation going. You can tweet us at BFM Radio, WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899, or you can also look us up on Facebook. Just search for BFM, The Bigger Picture. If you miss any part of the show, you can download the podcasts on bfm.my or from our BFM app, or find us on Spotify. And before we let you go, Enterprise Rocks, our retail conference, is happening on the 14th of March, Thursday, at Connection at Nexus, Bangsar South. This year, the theme is It's the Experience, and we have a gift for you. Use the promo code ROCKSTAR to get your tickets at a very special price and claim your gift from us to style you up for the event. We have limited stocks, so be quick. Visit bfm.my/rocks. Coming up at 3 p.m. is Front Row with Shyamala Ganesan. Meanwhile, here's Luca by Suzanne Vega, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.